I want to find something that's going to solve my problem. I need something that's going to help me fast, quick, and solves what I need. If I just see a name out there that doesn't necessarily do it for me, I need to see the help with it right away.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by Audience Plus. Our mission is to shake out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals and stir up fresh conversation, all to help you connect your brand with the right audience at the right time. Let's raise a glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. This is Jonathan Gandolf, co-founder and CEO of Audience Plus. I'm thrilled to be joined by two people today, Cruz and Victoria, a customer education from Seamless.ai. I'm really excited for this conversation, maybe slightly different than the traditional marketing conversation we have on here, but I think that's really good. I think it's healthy for everybody involved, myself included. We've previewed the conversation a little bit before hitting record here, and I think this is going to be a really good one. So why don't I stop my rambling there and let the two of you introduce yourself. Victoria, we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and your role.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Victoria Meyer. I'm, as you mentioned, Customer Education Manager at Seamless AI. My background really starts in the classroom. I taught elementary for 5 years and was looking for a different role, looking for a different way to take the education side outside of the classroom and join the customer education stratosphere. Really loves training and teaching adults to users and helping them to learn that any platform that I've been a part of, and always looking to help people learn and find their strengths. And especially with tech platforms, there's a lot to it that people need to learn about. So
you're saying there might be some parallels between the elementary classroom and training a sales team?
Yeah, no matter what age you are, you always have to learn something, and whether it's easy or hard, there's ways that you're going to have to figure out how to learn it. And that's where I know Cruz and myself come in.
Love that. That is fascinating. We find a lot of times the best content marketers we work with, there's some they're not traditionally trained marketers. A lot of times it's journalists or teachers or support staffs in different industries. It's really interesting. I think there's some correlation there for sure. Cruz, tell us a little bit about your background and your role.
Yep. So I'm Cruz. I'm the other customer education manager at Seamless. Me and Victoria have been working together for a little over a year and a half now. My career originally began on the customer success side. So I was a customer success manager when I first started working out of college, came to Seamless, was working on the CSM side. So I got to work with customers every day, have those conversations one-on-one. Customer education opened up, so I wanted to try something new, applied for it, ended up getting it. And so I've been obviously doing this. So took a lot of the knowledge I learned from obviously talking with users every day, being in the Seamless platform, seeing where they could use more training, where they'd like to see improvements. And so being on the customer education side, it's been easy trying to build this content, or at least more guided, because now I understand hey, where are these gaps? Where can we help fill them in? And then kind of just build off from there.
Love that. I can't wait to dig in here. I've got a lot of I want to geek out. I'm surprised some pretty nerdy questions there, but this is the Content Cocktail Hour. So before we do that, we have to ask all of our guests, what are you enjoying drinking nowadays? Cruz, we'll let you start this one.
With Cocktail Hour, I usually like a good Moscow Mule, but for obviously today, it's a little early in the morning. For me, I'm drinking the Fairlife Protein Shake. So just kind of getting some protein in and breakfast in with some water. So keeping it pretty light this morning, but yeah, I typically like a good Moscow Mule.
Love that. Tori?
Yeah, so I'm based in South Florida, so I have a plethora of tiki bars around me that I enjoy in the evening or the weekends, and my go-to is always a spicy margarita.
Love that. Cool. So customer education, something that we believe in at Audience Plus, and we're often educating our customers on, no pun intended, is content should be edutainment. I think sometimes we as marketers, myself included, we get so focused on the demand generation purpose of content or the SEO purpose of content. Creating is pretty generic content, for lack of a better word. Where edutainment, content should really educate your audience, or should entertain your audience, or some combination of both. So I'm really curious, how does Seamless balance the customer education content that you're creating with their overall content marketing program? This one, I'll make a jump ball and let the two of you decide who wants to lead the way there.
I'll say, we kind of start back that Cruz and I figure out, what do we need to learn about first? I know it's, what do users need to learn? I know Cruz has that side on the CS side, that now that you're part of the platform, how are you going to learn it? How are you going to use it? Edutainment side is huge and important. We have a team at Seamless who does that as well. But we also need to make sure that users understand how to use it and how to use the platform in order to be successful with it. So when it comes to like that balance, we focus more on how are you going to become successful with the platform and everything that can come with that, whether it's videos, articles, short walkthroughs, if it's courses, and we're really touching into every part of the education side to make sure that you're successful and you see ROI in a product that you signed up for.
I love that. Cruz, you mentioned specifically listening to customers. Like, very tactically, what does that look like? Are you listening to call recordings? Are you jumping on calls with sales or CS team? Or are you setting up your own calls? What does that kind of look like for you to do that information gathering?
So it's a little bit of both. So like, because I had the CSM side of things here at Seamless, like I still know a lot of CSMs on the team over there. I Slack them, I'll talk with them. I'll be like, hey, like where are things? What are you hearing? What are you seeing? What are some of the common complaints? Like, where can we fill in some of these gaps? We do host webinars every day. So a lot of times, like we have users coming on, they'll be like, hey, I know this is a one to many. Is there any time we can do one-on-ones? And if their time is there, like I'll take meetings one-on-one, I'll hop on these calls with customers, walk them through the platform, talk through it. Kind of all the avenues we've talked about, really. Like I said, most of the time, like if I can do those one-on-ones, I like doing them just because, again, you get to have pretty smooth conversations. Sometimes users, like when they get on webinars, they don't want to ask certain questions just because, you know, they feel they're dumb. They might be too, like, is it too simple of a question that maybe I can just figure out on my own? And I mean, I'm sure you might know this is like, there are no like silly questions. Like, honestly, like the simpler the questions, it's a lot easier to get that conversation going. Usually just those one-on-one conversations I like to have because you can get more, you can figure out more from those users. I'm like, okay, you know, me and Victoria can start building out education on this because there's probably more of a market for it.
I'd imagine there's a balance of both, like, Seamless has like these new features, cool things that you want to proactively train on versus maybe, you know, the silly questions or the basic questions of very like simple, how, you know, features that the customer is asking you about. How do you, each of you kind of balance the proactive, like exciting, sexy new features versus maybe the boring, like they just need to be really good at the basics when you're creating your content?
Again, depends on the user. You can usually tell like when someone's interacting with you, like where they're at tech savvy wise, like kind of asking like those questions of like, oh, you know, how am I scroll here? Or like, I'm not seeing this. Like you can start feeling out where they're at. I think a big thing of me and Victoria's role is like the basics kind of like what we want to push, right? Because like everyone's every user at Seamless is different in terms of how they're going to use it, what market they're targeting. So we can get jazz up the premium products and new things that are coming out. But obviously what Seamless is built on is lead generation, helping people fill pipelines. So like basic is actually probably more where we want to go because I'd rather have someone learn, you know, hey, this is how I would use the platform for myself. This is how I can help my company grow. And then the premium stuff, the more fancy items that we have, like that's just an add on to help, you know, make it a little bit easier to, you know, accomplish those goals.
We really focus on what the customer needs in order to be successful. So is that the basics? Is that going to be the first priority that we want to cover? How to use, you know, from start from A to Z? Is it going to be some new features that we have coming up and launching? I mean, Cruz and I are prioritizing kind of every day what we're focusing on, working on, big project, small project. But it's always coming back to what do customers need to know as soon as possible to be successful, to utilize the platform, to find that ROI, to find, you know, the satisfaction with Seamless. And like as Cruz mentioned, sometimes can be the basics. Sometimes it's, we're going to ramp up and work on the whole bunch of new features that we have coming up. Kind of just depends. It's a lot of like here and there. It's, you know, sometimes we find excitement in a new idea that we have and we run with that because something that we know is going to be great.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. We, again, talk about in content all the time, like all content. It's like, we as marketers, myself included, I feel like I always need to caveat that before I roast marketers, but we get so excited about, you know, what's new, what's trending in the industry. And I think so many times when people are actually engaging with B2B content, it's because they have an acute pain point or they're just trying to be better at something and solve a problem. We just posted our top 20 resources from the first half of 2025. And, you know, there was certainly some like AI, about 35% of the content featured AI. But then there was also like very basic content, like Monday.com had a piece that was like how to build a better project management template or something like that, right? And it's like foundationally, we all need to be really, really good at the basics in our day-to-day. And I think, again, sometimes like I love your guys' focus on that because I think sometimes we all get so enamored with what's new that it becomes white noise.
And I kind of think pull it back and like when teaching, you have to know the basics of foundation in order to grow upon it. So if you don't know the basics of a platform, how to utilize it, I can teach you all the latest and greatest and cool. But if you don't understand and don't have that strength on the base, then we're building on a poor foundation. And the basics have to be there. The understanding of, you know, the black and white, that has to be there in order to start adding the color to your workflow and your strategy.
Just piggybacking off of that, it's like how many times do you sign up for a platform, you join something new, and it's like maybe if you've never done the tutorial, you've never done the trial or anything like that, you sign up, you kind of get in there, you're like, okay, where do I start first? Where does it go? And so the basics has become that foundation we try to incorporate because you'll have users sign up, like maybe they'll buy all the bells and whistles. But then once you have all those bells and whistles, it's like kind of getting a new car, right? Like you get in the new car, you know how to put it in drive and park, but like you have lane assist, you have rear view parking, all you have 360 view. And it's like all that can be super overwhelming. Like obviously driving a car is a little bit different than using a software, but it's a good analogy to use because sometimes you'll be like, how do I turn this off? And then all of a sudden you're yelling at the screen because, you know, you're just frustrated because something new that you're not used to, right?
It becomes dangerous if the bells and whistles are going off and you don't know the basics, right? Like it can become like somebody will end up using the software in the wrong way or for the wrong use case. They'll be upset because we haven't covered those basics. So I like that analogy a lot.
Thank you.
Another very super tactical question here. Where does customer education sit in the overall Seamless kind of business model? Are you guys on the CS team, product team?
We are part of the marketing team, marketing department. As Cruz kind of mentioned earlier, we work very closely with customer success. We work on the sales side. We kind of have our hand in a little bit of everything, which I know I personally love. I think I can speak for Cruz too. And I know we just love having every kind of aspect of education being a foundation in a customer's journey. We're part of the go-to-market team. We're part of every piece that anytime we're rolling something out, how can education make sure that we're prepared to customers can be successful?
We've talked a lot about like customer enablement, user enablement. I have to imagine a big part of education here is also internal enablement. Is that something that falls under your guys' responsibilities as well?
Yes. Every time it's something new, it's how can educate, like, let's build out the external, let's build out the internal and make sure our internal team's always certified for it. So,
okay, so let's talk about the internal piece. What do you find works well and maybe doesn't work as well when you're creating customer or education for internal stakeholders?
The way I look at it is you got to train your sales team how you would train your customers, right? Because like your sales team is just training it one way, pitching it one way. The last thing you want to do is have users, customers come onto a platform. They're expecting it to work one way. And then all of a sudden they're like, wait, I can do it this way. Or, oh, like I saw it this way on the demo. It's not working like how I was supposed to. So I've always gone into this mindset of, hey, like, we should train our sales team like how we would train our customers, because then when they're doing these demos, they're walking through, like they're pitching the product, like it's pretty on par with how users are going to use it. And then it just kind of eliminates that gap that you might see sometimes with users signing up on is like, how do I use this for my use case? Like I witnessed it one way, but now it's like it's being shown another way. And then there's confusion in that sense. So again, just trying to eliminate that gap in terms of how we're going to use a product or how we're pitching it.
You mentioned sitting on the marketing team. Victoria, I'll throw this over to you. What does the back and forth, if there is a back and forth, look like between maybe the like thought leadership content that's being created and the education content that's being created? Do those try to move in parallel? Is there a back and forth? How do those two balance out?
I'd say on the thought leadership side, I know our leadership team has their own, their own version, their own voice, because they all have amazing prior experience that they all give their voice to their own content. So I know we work closely with our CEO, Brandon Bornanson, and are closely working with even our VP of product, Jake Phillips, and are working closely with them. So they have, but I'll say they have their own voice that they like to utilize and speak from because it has great power behind it. I'll say from the other, like the blog side or the content, the SEO side, we do work closely with that team as well to make sure that they understand the technical side of the product platform, anything that's being rolled out, so that they can put their spin on their content. I think everyone has their own voice, and that's incredibly important that everyone can utilize their own voice and their own content because everyone has their expertise on where they go. But where we're asked to kind of help out, give a little background on, that's where we jump in with.
I love how collaborative your guys' roles are. Like, you mentioned VP of product, marketing, yep, sales, customer success. Like, it's such a cool, like, kind of Venn diagram of everything kind of coming to life and what you're creating.
Definitely.
A lot has changed in the last 12, 24 months. There's more noise than ever before. All of the cliches about AI, changing marketplace, et cetera, fill in the gap there. You mentioned Seamless in the lead generation data space. For those who are unfamiliar with Seamless, that's maybe important to say a lot as well, but that's a space that has been impacted by all things AI. So what are the challenges, what are the trends and the challenges and problems that you're seeing customers have kind of in this new world of all things AI?
There's kind of a multitude of things, right? Like, obviously with AI, there's a lot of automation that comes with it. And, you know, you use AI user support, like you have chatbots typically, you'll have those automatic responses, phone numbers. Obviously what we've kind of seen as a trend on the customer education side, when we take a look at feedback across the board, even when people join webinars, it's just the personal touch, like one-on-one training. There's a lot of people that just want that human support. It can be super easy to get your question answered by a bot, but like, if you're trying to explain a problem, or, you know, if you're seeing certain things, the issue you kind of run into there is like, how do you properly explain that to a bot that to understand it? And is it going to give you that right answer? Right. And so that's something like we're kind of constantly refining over here at Seamless, is like, how can we just make this a one-stop shop for users so they can get their answers to address some of those more complicated ones? But trending wise, I see a lot of people using AI to obviously help with like sales scripts, prospecting, like how can you better personalize with certain users, different things like that. So maybe doing some of the little mundane things that salespeople or even just the common reps use every day is like, how can I just make this a little bit easier and take it out of my hands?
It's interesting kind of what you led off with there. It sounds like there's almost like this has increased this appetite for wanting to engage with a human and being able to add that context that maybe AI, you know, workflows might not be able to solve for. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah. And like, it just depends on the user, but it just seems that, especially with AI nowadays, it's like, hey, can I just chat with someone? Because it might be a little bit easier to explain like what I'm going to versus like, again, with chatbots or AI in general, like, there's a little bit of that personalization or that human feel that just a lot of people want, because like, it's hard to explain feeling to a bot that they might not understand.
That almost trickles into brand, right? If they can like engage with a human at Seamless, like, and they can have that really nice brand experience, that's only going to increase, I'd imagine, kind of the stickiness and the retention of Seamless. So that's really cool to hear. I'm actually kind of like relieved to hear that a little bit. Victoria, what about you? What are you seeing?
It comes back into the user and the fact that AI, I know, has been around for many years out, but I feel like in the last 2 years, it's become, as you mentioned, we've gone 16 minutes without talking about that. Oh my goodness. It's really become that everyday talk. And again, we're talking with customers every day. We're training them and we find value in giving that, as Chris mentioned, that personal touch, and that we're on a webinar and you can ask us a question directly and we're answering it in real time, because we know that with education, sometimes, as Chris mentioned, you need a little bit more digging in and working through that question than just what's going to be right away given to you. I mean, with that, we are a very AI forward company, but we know that with the education side, there's a lot that goes into that support that with customers. But we also know that since it is a very AI forward company, as you mentioned, with our lead generation software, that there's a lot of AI that's part of it. I mean, it's in our name. So it's part of our role though, as well, that we're helping the customers understand how it's utilized, how you can still kind of work through it. Because some of our users are AI pros and they're got it and they are just, it's like their back pocket nature at this point. And some are still really unsure of how to utilize it, where to utilize it, how to get started. So that's where we kind of come in. We're there to make sure that workflow is, no pun intended, but is seamless. And is they understand that the AI is part of the platform, but you're going to have Cruise or I there kind of help you out as we go.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I hadn't thought about that, but like the, you know, pre-AI, there was of course like kind of this gulf between somebody who's a new user or a less sophisticated user and a more sophisticated user. And now you're also layering onto that somebody who's adopted AI versus not adopted AI. That like that's a broad, broad spectrum that now you're responsible for educating based on what their own sophistication level. Good luck.
We're teaching the whole platform and that AI is going to be involved in that stuff as you go, and that, you know, you're utilizing Seamless, there's AI as part of the whole background of the platform. So just because it's the word or the phrase of AI can be, you know, intimidating to some users, it's pretty easy to use, and let us show you how to do that. So it's kind of intertwined with what we do. And I know I'm shocked every day of AI platforms and products and services that come out, and I'm pretty tech savvy. And so how can we kind of break it down to users who might not be?
We always wrap these conversations by asking, what's an unpopular opinion that you have as it pertains to B2B sales or marketing? I'll let the two of you decide who gets to lead the way on the hot seat here.
My hot take might be maybe not as much of a hot take, but I would say most B2B buyers, I feel like with a lot of B2B marketing, like there's obviously this emphasis on like a relationship building. Like they want, like obviously with relationship building, that's where stickiness comes into play and it's hard for users to leave. I would say that's probably the latter side of things. That's more after someone has already been engaged on the platform, has already signed up for your product. I would say most B2B buyers nowadays just want fast answers, ROI. They don't want to do the whole song and dance. It just seems like there's a lot of users who are like, don't really want to do these demos, go through the sales pitch, like sit and kind of go through those questions that come on a call. They're like, how can this solve my problem now? Like, what's this look as a return on investment? And then that relationship can start building after they've been on the platform, because then it's like, okay, I can see what the platform does. You know, this has become an everyday workflow. Do I like it? Do I not like it? Those types of things. So my hot take is that they don't want that relationship. They just want the answers now. They want to see what money they're going to make back and just see what positives they're going to get.
There's so much happening in the market right now, from, you know, budget shrinking, team shrinking, AI, the way people are using AI to research their own purchasing decisions. Similar to that, Cruz, I think a lot of times the sales process right now is just actually validating a decision that's already been made versus like being inserted into the decision matrix. And I think like that's a huge adjustment for a lot of folks. And then I think you're right, the relationship is kind of the retention, like education play. It's the way I, you know, shop now as well. A lot, like if I have to sit through another 30-minute discovery call, I'm like, it just pains me so much, because like I've already kind of like done the discovery on my own thanks to all of the solutions that are out there, and I am just kind of validating that this is the path I should go. I think that's it's a very good, very strong unpopular opinion. I like it.
I believe that oversaturation of a name out there. If I see the same name on every single platform I'm looking at, every LinkedIn, everyone's going to Instagram now. If I see the same name over and over, it doesn't necessarily make me necessarily want to dive into that company anymore. To me, it's more quality. And are your kind of ads catchy? Are your the quality of the content versus the quality of name saturation? Sometimes, you know, honestly, it just kind of makes me go like a long unsubscribe more than dive more into that platform product. So I believe that a quality ad, a quality name, as you mentioned, you said the sales process, like it's, I want to find something that's going to solve my problem. I need something that's going to help me fast, quick, and solves what I need. If I just see a name out there that doesn't necessarily do it for me, I need to see the help with it right away.
I'll try to tie these two together, I think, because you're right, they are a bit polar, but I think there's like maybe a thread there of like people are trying to validate their own research. And I think the more voices they can hear as part of that process, or the more diversity they can hear, but yet kind of all leading to the same decision in that process, is good. I think people buy from people versus buying from brands nowadays in the B2B world. And I think, you know, the more quality and equality you can see in that, the better off you'll be, the easier it will be to validate that decision, and then ultimately the easier it is to build a relationship post-sale. So we can weave those two together. I like it. Or I can let you two fight it out once we stop recording. All right, if people want to learn more about Seamless.ai, what's the best way to do that?
I'll say just head on over to Seamless.ai. I know we're pretty active on LinkedIn as well. LinkedIn, our CEO, Brandon Bordantz, is pretty active, giving his voice to Seamless.ai as well. But just check it out at Seamless.ai.
Cool. We'll get that link in the show notes. I appreciate both of you joining the Content Cocktail Hour, educating us all. To all of our watchers, all of our listeners, thanks for joining another episode. Until next time, same time, same place. Cheers.
Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by Audience Plus. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us at audienceplus.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.